So today's daf is Yud Dalet Amud Beis in Makos. So the truth is, again, like last week, there was a lot of technicality for the, let's say, the majority of the Amud, and then the bottom of Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the beginning of Tezvel Amud Aleph, there's a fascinating, like, conceptual question regarding basic issues here. Lav Hanitak Laseh. So we're going to start. Or Lav Shekidmo, I'll say also. So we're going to start in Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 12 or 13 lines down by the two dots. Okay? So that's where we are. So the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah. We're talking about different cases where the punishment is Kares and Malkus. Okay? So here, the Mishnah says, V'tamei she'achal asakodesh. If someone who was tamei, who ate kadshim food, or habal mikdash tamei, or if someone who comes to the mikdash when he is tamei, so then there's malchus and there's also kares. Okay, so this is another situation where you get malchus and kares, and again, two different types of tumah again. One is where someone who is tamei eats kodesh food, and the second is someone who comes to the mikdash when he is tamei. So the two different things. So again, it's a little technical here. We're going to see again different opinions, what you learned the sources and how they learned this source, a different source. So similar, we're going to go through the same exercise for probably the first half of the learning session tonight. So the Gemara starts off and says, "Bishlama habo lemikdash tamei." So I understand that there's a halacha that if you come to the mikdash and you are tamei, so that ksiv onesh. So again, we are now Yudalet Amud Beis about four lines from the wide from above the wide lines. So three lines above the wide lines. If you come to the mikdash tamei, so there's a punishment of kares. We know uksiv asara, and also the warning is written. Remember, whenever there is a case of kares and malkos, you need both the lav, the Torah to say don't do this lo, and also has to say v'nichrasu. So we have onesh dichsiv. It says if someone is tamei, you enter into the mikdash. The pasuk in Bamidbar Yotesh Gimel says this mishkan Hashem timei v'nichrasa. So it says if someone's tamei, he goes into the mikdash, then the punishment is kares. Azhara, the warning, is said by someone who has tsaras. There's leprosy, someone who says Zav was a seminal mission, or Tamei Meis. The Pasuk says, El Michutz L'machneh Tishalchum, and here's what the Gemara quotes, V'lo Yitamus Machaneyam. They're not allowed to be Metame, their camp. So perfect. We have the Lav, and we have the Kares. We have both the Lav and the Kares for someone who is Tamei entering into the Mikdash. Ella, Tamei She'achal Esakodesh. But someone who is tamei, who ate kodesh food, let's say he ate korban pesach, for example. So bishlama onesh, I know where we have the punishment. Dichsiv or iksiv hanevesh asher tochal basa mizevach hashlamim la asher la Hashem v'tumaso olav v'nichrusa. So in Vayikra, the Torah says that if you are tamei and you eat sacrificial food, you get kares. Azhara minayin, but where does it say you're not allowed to do that? Okay, so that's we have to fill in that box. We have to fill in the box of where it says if you are tame, you're not allowed to eat korbanos, like sacrificial meat. So the truth is that it's interesting is that the pasuk that was used, there is a pasuk in Vayikra Chav Beis Dalet, which says ish mizera, as a Rashi points out, that there is a pasuk which says ish mizera Aaron v'hutzaru ozav b'kachin lo yochal. So it says that someone who is tsaras or zav, he can't eat kachim, because this pasuk we're going to see soon that's referring to truma and not kachim. Right? There are two different types of holy foods that you can't have when you are tamei. There's one that's called truma, that's the food that only the kohen and his family can eat. And then there's kachim, which is like korban meat, which sometimes even non-Kohanim can eat, depending on the type of meat. So we want to know, how do we know that there's a prohibition for a Tamei person to eat, let's say, Korban meat? Okay? So Reish Lakish Omer, Reish Lakish says, V'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. It says in Vayikrav Yudbeis Pasuk Dalet that with all holy food, you're not allowed to touch. So what do you? So is that convincing? What are we trying to learn? What are we trying to learn here? What are we trying to learn? What's the halacha that we're trying to learn about? We're trying to learn that where do we find the Torah telling you that you're not what?
That you're going to get curries.
No. That we have a pasuk. We're trying to figure out the pasuk to tell you that you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat korban meat when you're tamei. We have the pasuk which says you get kares. We're missing the box that we're missing is the source to tell you that you're not allowed to eat korban meat when you're tamei. Do you think that now? Let's read the source. The source is b'chol kodesh lo tiga. With all holy food, you can't touch.
It doesn't mention achila.
Right. It doesn't mention achila. Okay. So it doesn't mention achila. So we need to. We're going to have to work a little hard here, right?
How can you practically eat it if you don't touch it?
Right, okay, right. So we have, my point is, the Gemara is going to try to explain, you know, how, that's a nice limud, Ben. That might be correct. My only point to you is, when you see the source, you have to say, wait a second, you know, maybe there's a prohibition simply not to touch it. You're saying when you eat it, you automatically touch it. So we have to get there. We have to
not
get there.
Not necessarily. Somebody can be feeding it to him.
Right. So that's a good question. If someone feeds it to you, is touching mean touching with your hands? Or if you eat it, are you touching it with the inside of your mouth? But you're right, David. In other words, my inclination might be, when I'm thinking of touching, you touch things with your hands. I don't know. So all I'm saying is, it could be
two different astaras. One is touching and gave you tamei. And one is eating if you tamei. You can just touch something that guy's doing anything more.
I understand, but again, what are we trying to figure out here? We're trying to figure out.
I understand, but. Rashi says that we learn further on that this is the astara for achila.
I understand. We're going to get there. We're going to get there to see how it works. All I'm saying is, you know, so Rashi said, because what's bothering Rashi is the fact that the Torah says, don't touch it. And here all of a sudden we say, oh, this is a source for not eating it. So Rashi's like, hold on, be patient. We're going to get to it soon. All I'm saying is we need to ask the question first. Rav Yochanan says, Tane Bardala. So this Bardala taught, Bardala was the name of a Chacham. There actually is debate, was he an Amora or a Tana? Anyway, this Bardala, this individual, he says, Asya Tumaso Tumaso. Apparently it's a Gzera Shava. Gzera Shava is where it has two words, the same words in different places. You learn the halacha of one from the other. So Ksiv Hacha, it's written, I am, one second. So it's, I might need to mute people. I'm gonna mute everyone because there is a little bit of noise. But certainly when you have what to say, unmute yourself. I just want to mute everyone, but when you have what to say, certainly unmute yourself. I want to hear what you have to say. So there is a Gezeira Shava, and the Gezeira Shava says Tumaso Tumaso, Ksiv Hacha. It's written over here by the Pasuk that says that if you eat Kachim, it says you get Kares. It says V'tumaso Alav V'nichrasa. Okay? Ksiv Hasam, Tomei Yiye O Tumaso Bo. So it has the same language of Tumaso, the same word, by someone who comes to a mikdash, to the Mikdash when he's Tame, and also someone who is Tame who eats Kachim. So since they have the same word, so we're saying Malahalan Onesh Vazhara, Afkan Onesh Vazhara. So in other words, what we're saying here in effect is that, again, we have four boxes, right? We have the guy who is Tommy walks into the Mikdash, and there we fill in both boxes. We have the punishment written, and we have the warning written, the love. When it comes to the person who eats korban meat, When he is Tamei, we only have the punishment, so it's three of the four, and we don't have the lav. So since it says tumaso, this extra word, it says it by both places, by that language, the extra word tumaso, the same language, it says it in the case of the person who comes to the Mikdash Tamei, and the person who is Tamei, who eats the meat, we can learn that just like when you come into the Mikdash, when you're Tamei, you get Malkus, so too, you also get Malkus if you are Tamei, if you eat Korban meat. So we learn it as a Gzera Shava. What's interesting is we hold, right, Ein Ochin Min Hadin, we can't get a punishment from a Kal V'chomer, so this is a Gzera Shava to learn one love to another love. Okay? So that's what we're assuming now, according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Reish Lakish, it's because of B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's based on similar wording. We're learning that just like in the case, if you come to the Mikdash when you're Tamei, there's a law of prohibition, you would get Malkus. So too, because of similar wording, you also get Malkus when you eat Korban meat in your Tamei. So now we have to ask, the next stage of the Gemara is, why didn't Reish Lakish like Rabbi Yochanan's proof, and why didn't Rabbi Yochanan like Reish Lakish's proof? We have to answer the both of that. So Bishlava Reish Lakish Lomar Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense why Reish Lakish did not learn like Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Zereshava Lo Gamir. He did not have this tradition. Zereshava is based on what? A tradition, a Mesorah. Reish Lakish did not have a Mesorah, a tradition, for the Zereshava that Rabbi Yochanan did, and therefore he couldn't learn that. Right? So, by the way, what's interesting is...
But didn't Reish Lakish learn with Rabbi Yochanan?
Beautiful. Good. So good. So I was waiting for someone to ask that question, and it was you, Howie. Okay. So, Howie says, well, wait a second. Reish Lakish's Rebbe was Rabbi Yochanan. So how could Reish Lakish not have a tradition as to, you know, he said, I didn't have a tradition for my Rebbe about this Gezeirah Shavah. My Rebbe is Rabbi Yochanan. So who asked this? So Tosfos in Shabbos apparently answers that apparently they had, it's true that that was his Rebbe, but apparently the Reish Lakish had a Mesorah, a tradition of how many Gezeirah Shavahs there are, right? How many Gezeirah Shavahs there are, and there was a fixed number, and apparently he had a list of those Gezeirah Shavahs, apparently not from Rabbi Yochanan. There's a Yerushalmi in Be'a, which says that in Reish Lakish's youth, he learned Torah by Rebbe. And then actually he became a thief, and then it was Chozer B'Tshuva learned by Rabbi Yochanan. So it's a fun fact about Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is known to be this thief who eventually repents and he's Chozer B'Tshuva, and he learns with Rabbi Yochanan. But you didn't know. That's what's it got? That's the rest of the story is that he actually actually went off to Derech and he came back. He was first, at least according to the Yerushalmi, that he went off to Derech and he was young, he learned Torah from Rebbe, and apparently he got his list of Gezeirah Shavahs, the number of Gezeirah Shavahs from Rebbe, and not from Rabbi, Yochanan. Okay. So now we understand why Reish Lakish doesn't hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have to ask ourselves, why does Rabbi Yochanan not learn like Reish Lakish? Why does he like the term of B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga? So what he says is, Amar Lach, Hahu Azhara L'Truma. Rabbi Yochanan says that actually when it says B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga, that refers to Truma. Remember, when the Torah says that food is holy, there are at least two possibilities as to what holy food is for our purposes. The holy food could refer to kachim, which is sacrificial meat, or it could refer to, also by the way, other, like could be flour offering also, that could also be, there's sacrificial food, or it could be truma, the holy food that goes to the Kohen. So whereas Reish Lakish understands that when the pasuk says b'chol kodesh lotiga, that refers to kachim. Rav Yochanan says no, that refers to truma. So he needs a different source to see why you can't. You're forbidden to eat kachim when you are tamei. So now, of course,
if Rabbi.
Yeah. Rabbi, if Kachim is a higher level than Truma, it's question, why can't you do it any? Why can't you learn from there anyway?
If Kachim, say it again.
Kachim is a higher level than Truma.
Right.
So Truma, you can't eat when you're tummy. Certainly can't eat Kachim when you're tummy.
Right. So that might be an Onshin Min Hadin issue.
We're talking about we're not talking about the Onshin. We're talking about the Azhara.
Right. So you're right.
The top toss is asked, where do we find that Truma is more chomer than Kachim?
Right. So he wants to say that.
Isn't Truma forbidden to everyone except the Kohen, regardless if they're Tamei or not?
Say that again, Alan?
Isn't Truma forbidden to everyone except the Kohen, regardless if they're Tamei or not?
Correct.
So Kachim would be allowed. Certain types of kachim would be allowed to everyone,
correct?
Except for if you're tummy,
correct? And there are certain things. Listen, generally speaking, kachim is more severe. Kenny's correct. There are certain leniencies. So it's not exact. I mean, Tosus asked something close to it. Tosus asked, "But the
Hechavat Sido." Not exactly the
question. It's a little bit. We'll try to get to Tosus if we can. It's a little bit of a different question, but. It's not. So you want to say if Kachim is
Truma is not allowed,
then certainly
you're talking about Azharis. You're not talking about Inon Shanatin.
Well, there is an Onesh. The Onesh is Malkus.
Yeah, but you're talking about you need the pasuk for the Azhara
and for the Malkus.
I thought we have a separate pasuk for the Malkus on the Kachim already.
No,
I think we're looking to learn the Azhara.
Right. Yes, but the Azhara serves two functions. It's an Azhara for the Kares. It's an Azhara. Well, that's a question. Do you need an Azhara for Kares or not? Right. You don't need an Azhara for Kares. Why? Because that was discussed before. Because Korban Pesach and Mila don't require it. So for Mises Beistin, you require an Azhara. So here, when it says Azhara, it might simply refer to the Malkus. The question really of Tosfos is, since the simple reading is talking about Kachim, why do you want to change it and talk about Truma? So the reason is because if you look at the continuation of the Pasuk, it then seems to be talking about Kachim. Maybe we'll get to that Tosfos. So that's really a different question. But to get to your point, Kenny, I don't know. In other words, say it again, Kenny. You're saying the what?
I want to say if Kachim is machamor than Truma.
Right.
And if you know you can't eat Truma when you're tame, you certainly can't eat Kachim when you're tame.
If you certainly can't eat Truma when you're tame, then certainly you can't. But then again, right. So if you would say so you get Malkus for Truma, and then you want to say that you would also get Malkus for Kachim. Right. So I think we need a different pasuk. We would need a pasuk to tell you that you get Malkus for it. I think that might be the difference. I think it's an. I think Malkus is still an Onesh. So the
Rabbi Tosfos mentions that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it seems that unless he changed that, just looking at the first few lines, he says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, let's say B'chol Kodesh Hashiga is referring to the prohibition against touching Truma, and you get Malkus for that. But if you touch Kachim, there's no Malkus.
Right. So we will do this Tosfos, but I think it goes on a little bit further in the Gemara. So let's read a little more in the Gemara, and then we'll do the Tosfos. Okay. So the Gemara there says, because the Gemara says that, so now Rabbi Yochanan says that you have a lav that tells you that you can't. We have a pasuk b'chol kosher tiga. It says that you can't eat truba. So where does Reish Lakish get this? As far as the truba nolan, what's his source for not being allowed to eat truba? So nafkale mean ish mizera aron hu tzaro zav b'kachim lo yochal. So there's a pasuk which says, "Ish from the seed of children of Aaron." And if you are, because the pasuk says "ish," so it means that the prohibition is on all children of Aaron HaKohen, ish, anyone, both male and female. So therefore, it has to be talking about truba. Ezel davar shu shava b'chol zaro shel Aaron, that both applies to both men and women. So having over zol truba. So this is truba, as opposed to kachim, because kachim are only eaten by males. By certain kachim are only eaten by males. So this has to refer to truma. So that's how Reish Lakish learns the prohibition of eating truma. So now Rav Yochanan ve'idach, Rav Yochanan, where does he learn that you're not allowed to eat? So what does he say that pasuk comes to teach you? If v'chol kodesh lo, if he learns the prohibition of eating truma from b'chol kodesh lo tiga, so what does he learn this pasuk to teach you? He says ahu la'chila v'chol l'negia. So he says one pasuk says ish tells you that you're not allowed to eat the truma, and b'chol kodesh lo tiga, lo and behold, very strange. It means you shouldn't touch it, right? Which makes a lot of sense. Okay, so now we have to go back to Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says that. So Reish Lakish says, Reish Lakish says, but hi, b'chol kodesh lo tiga. So this, where it says b'chol kodesh lo tiga, what does it come to teach you? This pasuk. So he says, "Ahu b'bayle l'tave she naga be kodesh." So we're talking about someone who's tave who touched the kodesh, the kachim, the itmar, because it was said in the base medrash, "Tame she naga be kodesh." Reish Lakish amar loka, Rav Yochanan amar ein loka. So now he's sort of changing. Now he's saying, "V'chol kodesh lo tiga actually means that you can't touch kachim." Right, Rav Yochanan said this. You don't get malchus. Reish Lakish says you do get malchus because of Reish Lakish amar loka b'chol kodesh lo tiga. Because he said the pasuk says b'chol kodesh lo tiga, and Rav Yochanan amar ein loka. He says you don't get malchus. Why? Because hahu ashara litrumahu daasa. Because that pasuk of b'chol kodesh lo tiga, that's referring to truma. So since that's referring to truma, so he would say there's a prohibition to touch truma, and it is a separate
but not kachim.
But Reish Lakish says there is a prohibition to touch kachim. Okay, so now I think it's fitting to look at Tosfos. Okay, so Tosfos the top Tosfos says the following. Hold on a second. So Tosfos says Hahuli truma huda asa. So says Tosfos the Tema. I have a question. Where do we find that truma is more stringent than kachim? Right? Because what do we see from here? Because we just said in the Gemara, it said that there's a prohibition to touch truma if you're tamei, but there's no prohibition to touch kachim if you're tamei. So it's maybe a similar question to what Kenny was going to ask. Rav Yochanan ends up more strict. Then Rav Yochanan is more strict with truma than kachim. He's saying that there's a prohibition to touch truma, and there's no prohibition to touch kachim. So the Tosfos asks, where do we find that truma is more stringent than kachim? Because the v'chol kodesh lo tiga mukil Rav Yochanan linegias truma, because he established v'chol kodesh lo tiga is talking about truma. Alma lucky, we see that what if you touch truma you get malchus. Uvinegia de kodesh lo lucky. And if you touch kachim, you don't get malchus. You only get malchus if you eat kachim. How could that be? The teretz harav shlobo mi, I don't know, darvash? I don't know. So, probably someplace in France. Okay? Mm-hmm. So he says, the hachi kabar, this is what Rav Yochanan means to say. Hahu v'negiyas truma hu da'asai. This is coming to include touching truma. La shveiran to teach us. De posel ha-truma. It comes to teach you that doesn't come to teach you that you get malchus. It comes to teach you that if you touch truma, what happens? It becomes pasul, becomes invalid. That you would have to burn it. right? What happens if you're tamei? There is a consequence. If you're tamei and you touch truma, or you're tamei and you touch kachim, so there is, number one, are you allowed to do it or you're not allowed to do it? And is there a and do you get a sin? And do you have to pay the price because you committed a sin? There's a second question, which is, does what you do transform the food? So what we're saying here is, Rav Yochanan is really saying, b'chol kosh latika means don't touch it. And what he's saying, it doesn't mean that you could get malchus, because he agrees with Kenny. He agrees that we can't be more strict with truma than kachim. So therefore, when it says b'chol kosh latika, it means that don't touch the truma, because if you do, what will happen? It will become puzzle, invalid. You're going to have to burn it. And the truth is, and also he says that a yoledes, he points out that a new mother is also puzzle the truma, ad malos shimei tara. Right, a new mother is tamea. She's ritually impure for a certain number of days, depending if she has a boy or a girl, and until she has impure days and then pure days, until that she is like he kitful yom. She's like someone. She's treated as someone who went to the mikvah that day. There's a category of someone who becomes tabe, and then they go to the mikvah, then they can't do certain things until the evening. Right. So, in any case, the point here is lo kamar dika malchus b'negias truma. So, state number one, Rav Yochanan, who says b'chol kodesh latika, simply means that if you touch truma, it becomes puzzle, becomes invalid. Number two, then Tosa says b'chol makom yiksha. But then let's have a question: the eich kamar Rav Yochanan dikra diksiv be kodesh the mairi litruma. How could it be that Rav Yochanan, the pasuk says, but with all kodesh, don't touch, that is talking about truma. It says b'chol kodesh. What's kodesh? Kachim. That's sacrificial meat. Why are you saying it refers to truma? So Tosfos answers, Yesh lomar mishum digabe haikra ksiv ad malos shimei tara. Because the pasuk also says that you can't touch it ad malos shimei tara until the days of purity are filled. But by kachim, what's the lashon? Ad la'achar ha'kapara. See, here's a difference. I'm giving over yedios, basic facts, when it comes to, let's say, kachim versus truma. So the rule is that you're generally allowed to eat truma. Let's say you're tamei. You're allowed to eat truma when? At nighttime. When it comes to kachim, when are you allowed to eat kachim? Only when you got kapara, you would have to bring a sacrifice the next day in order to eat kachim, right? That's why kachim is more strict. To eat this truma food, so that if you're tamei, you went to the mikveh during the day, whatever, you're tamei for a certain period of time, however long that is, so then you go to the mikveh during the day, at night you can eat your truma. When it comes to bringing kachim, there you have to wait till the next morning and offer a korban. So since the pasuk says, b'chol kodesh lo tiga ad malo shimei tara, so that's obviously referring to just the days. So that means that you're not worried about bringing korban. So that refers, therefore, they said that refers to truma and not to korban. And it tells us another answer. Inami shlomar inami da al korchach tzarech la ukma bitruma. Maybe we're forced to say it's talking about truma. Why? Dilek kachim nafkalon migzera shava tumaso gomerle. So because we already have a gzera shava to tell you that someone who's tamei, that we already learned the warning about it, so we have this extra. We already learned about kachim from this gzeres shaveh, so therefore this must refer to truma. Okay, so that's what that Tosfos discusses. In any case, so we end up saying now, back to the Gemara, we want to know, right? What does Reish Lakish do with the pasuk of Achol Kodesh Lotiga? So we wanted to say that it comes to Achol Kodesh Lotiga, according to Reish Lakish, comes to teach you that you're not allowed to eat Kodesh meat when you are Tameh. That's not true. We have a Braisa which said what? That b'chol kodesh lo tiga teaches you that if you just touch kachim, you get malchus according to Reish Lakish. So what do we answer? We answer Tamei shenaga v'kodesh mi da afki rachmana b'loshin negiya v'azhara the iskas kodesh l'mikdash. So the Gemara answer, he says the following. Reish Lakish really learns two different things. He learned the fact that the Torah says b'chol kodesh lo tiga, which means that so that from there he learns that someone who's tamei who touches kodesh, you get malchus. And the warning of eating it is based on a comparison to the mikdash. That just like the pasuk says b'chol kodesh lo tiga v'la mikdash lo tavo. So just like if you go to the mikdash when you're tamei, you get malchus. So too, if you eat kodesh, you also get malchus. So then the Gemara says v'akati la'achiyu da'asa. No, still. Hahu mibayle. No, you need the b'chol shlo tiga to teach you something else. L'tamei she'achal b'sar kodesh lifnei zrikas damim. To someone who's tamei who ate holy meat before zrikas damim. So now we're going to learn a little about korbanos. Very brief stuff. We're learning all about kachim and tuma and tara and truma. So when it comes to offering a korban, there are four steps. What are the four steps? What's the first step?
Shechita,
you slaughter the korban, right?
Kabbalah.
Right. So then you shecht the korban, and then the next thing that you do is the blood is dripping. So then you collect the blood in a kli, that's called kabbalah. Then you do what's called holacha. You take it to, let's say, the mizbeach. And then what do you do? Zrika, you sprinkle the blood. So these are the four steps. Shechita, kabbalah, holacha, zrika. You only achieve atonement after the zrika. The zrika, the sprinkling of the blood, that is the point where everything happens. That's where like it affects kapara. So based on that, we can understand this a little bit better. Let's say you're tameh and you ate the meat, right? They shechted the meat, and before the kohen got a chance to slaughter it, not sure how you did this, but you roasted it quickly, or you ate this raw meat, okay? You eat the meat before the sprinkling of the blood. So the question is what? Is it kodesh then? In other words, do you still get malchus? So there, right, if you tameh who eats the meat before the sprinkling, the itmar, tameh she'achal basar kodesh lefnei zrikas davim. If someone who's tameh who ate the sacrificial meat before the sprinkling of the blood, v'shlokesh omer loker, v'shlokesh says you get malchus. V'yochan omer ina loker, v'yochan says you don't get malchus. V'shlokesh omer loker, v'shlokesh says you get malchus. Why? V'chol kodesh lo tiga, the same pasuk. I don't care if it's before sprinkling of the blood or afterwards. V'yochan says you don't get malchus. V'yochan tamei damarkra tumaso v'chiksiv tumaso lachar zrika hu dichsiv. So based on Gzeira Shava, basically he says that you only get malchus after the sprinkling of the blood. So we got a problem for Reish Lakish. V'chol kodesh lo tiga. Number one, you're learning it for someone who touches kodesh. Now we also need it to teach you that you even get malchus if you eat it before you sprinkle the blood in the ritual service. And now we're also going to learn that someone who's tamei, we're also going to learn that you can't eat it even after, you can't even eat it, in general. So how can that be? So the Gemara answers, Hahi, be b'chol kodesh dafka. The word b'chol, so that means all types of kachin, whether before zrika or after zrika. So now we're good. We said b'chol kodesh lo tiga. Lo tiga means if you touch kachin. Sorry, if you touch kachin, then you would get malchus. And b'chol, that extra word tells you that you get malchus no matter when you eat it, whether it's before or after Zrikas Adamim. And to finish this off, Tanya Kavase, we have a brisa that supports Reish Lakish's position. B'chol kodesh lo tiga azhara la'ochel. When it says b'chol kodesh lo tiga, it's a warning that to one who eats the korban meat, if you're tameh. Atov er azhara la'ochel. Do you mean to say it's only a warning to one who eats it? O eino ela azhara la'ochel. Maybe it's only a warning to the one who touches it. So, Tavon Lomar, Bachol Kodesh, Lotiga, Velav Mikdash, etc., Lotavo. Makish Kodesh LeMikdash. We compare a Tamei person who eats Kodesh meat to someone who goes into the Mikdash when he is Tamei. Ma Mikdash Davar Sheishbo Netilas Nishama. Just like if you enter into the Mikdash and you're Tamei, you get punished with Kares. Af Kol Davar Sheishbo Netilas Nishama. So too, everything else. You know, the same halacha applies only with something where you can be put to death. You're not put to death if you simply touch the tamein. If you're tamein, you touch the meat. You obviously don't get the kares. So ella ba'achila. So rather, what are we saying? It must be talked about achila. In other words, if we're comparing mikdash, someone whose tamein goes into the mikdash with someone who is eating, whose tamein who's eating, it has to be eating as opposed to simply touching. Because it has to be a situation where you would get, you know, death in Shemayim. So in any case, we see from here, so just to sort of to summarize where we are, and actually it's interesting because normally we follow Rabbi Yochanan, but this brisa seems to support Reish Lakish. So again, that and so the halacha, if we follow Reish Lakish, the halacha is that it's that you would it's forbidden to eat. So again, we found sources. The bottom line is, we found sources in the Torah that if you're Tameh, then you can't go into the Mikdash. We found sources, and you get punished for it. We found sources that if you are Tameh and you eat Kachin, then you would get Malkus. That's according to everyone. And then what emerges is, I think we have at least two debates between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And those two debates are the following. Do you get Malkus for touching Kachim? Reish Lakish says yes. Rabbi Yochanan says no. And then we saw the Tosfos. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that you get Malkus for Truma, not Kachim? So then Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, if you touch Truma, it just makes it puzzle. So what emerges really is we have a machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether by touching kachim or truma, you merely invalidate it, or also do you get malchus? And then we have another debate is, when does the meat take on the status of kedusha that you would get malchus on it? Is it once you shecht it? In other words, once you shecht it, then it has the sanctity and you would get malchus? Or is it only after the fourth step, which effectuates kapara after zrika sadam? Okay? So that is, you know, that's the going back and forth, this technical debate. So let's see how much we can get to here. We'll go another, say, 15 minutes.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Doesn't the animal become Kodesh as soon as it's designated to be a carbon?
That's a good question, right. Maybe you're right. I may have spoken too soon. I'm not, you might be right. In other words, let's see if I can see anything here.
That's not kachim kalim. That still belongs to the owner.
Kachim, which one? Kachim kalim.
Kachim kalim still belongs to the owner.
Right, that's right. Where it belongs to the owner. Right. So that's the question. In other words, when does it take on? Again, there could be right. When does it take on its status? You might be right. You probably are right, but I'm not going to say definitively because I don't know what Reish Lakish would say. He says that. Right, lo shna bein lifnei zrika bein la'achar zrika. When you separate the animal, so there obviously is some status. So how much should we minimize their machlokes or not?
No, it's the kapara fact. Yes, Tosos has mentioned that.
No, that's Rav Yochanan. But that's Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said it's only once you achieve kapara. But we're saying if you hold that you get malchus.
Yeah.
If you get malchus based on bechol, the word bechol ashertiga, even before the kapara, right before zrika, so how much before? So Ben is saying, why don't you go all the way to the time when you do hafrasha? It might be correct. Right? It might be correct. Okay. So I don't see something definitive, but there's a good. It sounds very good what you're saying. Okay, so we're going to start a new topic. No more technicalities here, at least for a bit. So we know that lav shenitach la'aseh, right? A lav hanitach la'aseh, you don't get malchus. What's an example of a lav hanitach la'aseh? Where the Torah tells you, what?
So we said,
right. Right, gazela might be. You're right. There's also another reason why you don't get malchus for that, because it's nitan letashlumim. Of course, is that the same as lava nitak laaseh? In other words, a lava where you can pay it back. But you are correct. In other words, the Torah says don't steal. The Torah says don't steal.
No, sir.
The Torah says don't steal, but if you steal, there's a way to fix it. Now again. Let me be very clear. It doesn't mean that, just very briefly, the Ramban explains that the reason for lav hanitak la'aseh, the reason why that works, okay, is the Ramban writes this in one of his commentaries here in Daf Tesvav and Aleph. He writes the reason why it works is the whole halacha is that it's a tikkun for the lav. In other words, the mitzvah's asay, let's say, don't leave any korban mitzvah's leftovers. And if you do, then you have to burn it. So the mitzvah's asay, in effect, fixes the lav. So then the question is that, is it considered as if that you never did the Avera? Like, does it undo the Avera? Is it considered as if you didn't do the Avera? So the nafka mina would be, are you allowed to say, you know what? I'm going to have leftovers. I don't want to have, you know what? I shechted a whole sheep, and all of a sudden they came down with these social distancing guidelines that I can't have anyone for Pesach, and I don't want to eat all this korban Pesach meat. I'm going to get fat. But I'm not going to leave over any meat. So let's see, what will I do? I know. It's a lav hanitak la'aseh. I know what I'll do. I'll have the meat left over and I'll burn it in the morning and the aseh will fix the lav. And it's as if I never sinned. So that is a discussion. And the Shagas Aryeh says that is obviously not true. He says, how could that be? He says in Simon Payoff, does that mean, are you allowed to steal? The Torah says what? Don't steal money from someone. And if you do, v'heishiv esakzela, you have to return that which you stole. Does that mean you're allowed to steal from someone on condition to return it? So obviously that's not true. What we're saying here is essentially is that a lav hanitak la'aseh means that you're not allowed to do it. You committed a sin, but you could achieve some sort of kapara if you do the aseh instead of malchus. Now, we're going to be introduced to a new type of love, and I say a new relationship, which is called lo taseh shekidmu aseh. Okay? So the Gemara here says, Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rav Yochanan. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana says in the name of Yochanan, kol lo taseh shekidmu aseh lo kidalav. Any love, any prohibition where the aseh precedes the lav, you get malchus for it. Okay? So if the aseh precedes the lav, then you get malchus for it. Now, if you turn, so then they say, Amru lo, so others heard that Rav Yochanan, that this was said in the name of Rav Yochanan, and they went up to Rav Yochanan, and they said, Amarta, did you really say this? So Amru lo, he said to them, lo, I didn't say that. So Amar Rabba, Rabba Bar Chana, he quoted Rav Yochanan that he said this. So Rabba said, Elokim, I swear that he said it. Uchsiva utanina. And this halacha, that if the aseh precedes the lav, you get malchus. So this is something that's clear. It's ksiva, it's written in the Torah. And it's also clear what's written in the Mishnah. Ksiva, it says in the Torah, v'yishalcho min hamachana. The Torah says that if someone is tameh, then it says v'yishalcho min hamachana. There it says there's a mitzvah aseh to send from the camp anyone who's tameh. And then afterwards, the Torah says v'lo yitamas machaneim, and you can't make their camps impure. So that's the pasuk. And in that case, yeah, what happened?
The
Right. What happens if you go?
The aseh precedes the lav.
Right. The aseh precedes the lav. in this case? And what happens if you go into the mikdash when you're tamei? What's the halacha? Do you have malchus? Yes, we just got through saying. We spent all this time saying. We said that we just got through saying. The Mishnah says if you go into the mikdash when you're tamei, you get malchus. How could that be? There's a lav. There's an asay. Ah, the asay precedes the lav. And the Mishnah is Tanina, Habala Mikdash Tameh. That's our Mishnah. It says if you go to Mishnah Tameh, you get Malchus. So, I want to ask the following question. Okay, so hear me out here. When it says that the Aseh precedes the Lav, what does that mean? Yeah, what does it mean that the Aseh precedes the Lav?
I mean, if it's written that way in the Torah, or if it actually happens that way?
Well, how can something happen that way? Okay.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, good. In other words, no, you know, maybe they sent the guy out of the machmir, for example.
Okay.
And then he went to the mikdash afterwards.
Right. Okay. So the simple.
That would be the action. Right, he did the essay first.
Okay. So the simple understanding of an essay preceding a lav is that how it's written in the Torah. So the truth is, usually you read Rashi and then Tosos. We're going to read Tosos and then Rashi. Okay? So Tosos says the following. Tosos says, Kol lota se shekidbo asei lo kidolav. If there's a lota say, there's an asei that precedes it, then you get Malchus. Tame, I have a question. The lav de gzela shekidbo asei, de veheshiva gzela asher gazav afil hoche lo kidolav. Actually, it says, veheshiv es ha gzela. Actually, before the prohibition of stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the Torah, it says, let me see if I can find it here. Hold on one second. If I can find this. Hold on. So, the Torah says, So I'm not sure. Okay. So the Torah says the heishiv is agzela asher gozal. So that is actually is said in the Torah.
Zenachim was oshek asher oshak. Is that
right? I'm not sure. But in any case, the Tosa says that it's written before. It's written, the asay there is written before the lav. Okay? So the question Tosos is asking is, why don't you get Malchus? Torah says, Veheshiv there, Sir Gazal. And later on, it says you shouldn't steal. So why don't we apply this principle? So Tosos answers, Yesh Lomar, the shiny Gabe Lav Digzela. She ein lekayim haasei ela laachar shegazla. So he says the following. He said it's not about what pasuk comes first. He wants to say that when it comes to stealing, that you cannot fulfill the asay until you committed the lav. Until you stole, you can't return that which is stolen. So that is a lav haditak laasei, where the asay cannot be done before the lav. Vehilkach lav shenidak me'elafu. So that is a lav hanidak lasay. So Ken, you are correct. You know, that is exactly lav.
It's a lav that's internally reparable, in other words. As we say, me'elaf. It's the gersus me'elaf.
Right, me'elaf.
And it's by itself. It's a lav that's reparable by itself, meaning what, that you have to return it.
Right. That, in other words, it's... Right, right, because you cannot fulfill the asay before the lav, so it's not considered lav shekidbu asay. Aval kidbu da kabar hacha lav dafka kidbu, but what it says here lav shekidbu shekidabu asay doesn't have to be that's first in the psukim. Ela hayde de shayach asay kodesh over halav, but what, you could fulfill the asay before the lav. So how can you fulfill the asay of sending someone from the camp who's tamei before the prohibition of not coming into the camp when you're tamei?
Why not?
So what's the example?
You're already in the camp.
Good.
You send the man.
Good. Perfect.
You send him out from the
correct.
But you're in the camp. You're
coming in the camp.
Correct, correct. Good, good. That's Tosfos. Good. That's Tosfos' answer. So in other words, Tosfos says, why do you get, if you come into the Mikdash when you're Tameh, why do you get Malkus? So Tosfos says it's a lav shekadabu aseh. How is it a lav that the aseh precedes it? Because it's not an aseh that fixes, that is specifically one to fix the lav. How do I know that? Because the aseh can come before the lav. So therefore, the aseh is not defined as something that fixes the lav, and therefore, if you commit a lav, the punishment is Malkus. Only when the only way... What?
It's two total independent actions,
right,
basically.
Right. So that's what he's saying. He's saying an aseh only serves to fix a lav when it can only be done to fix the lav. When it can be done by itself, it's not called a lav shenitech laaseh, it's a lav shekedamo aseh, and you would get Malkus. Okay? So that is how Tosfos understands it. So let's see Rashi. So Rashi, the very last Rashi, ko lo taaseh shekedamo aseh lo kidalav. So Rashi says, Ho'asa lash fe'idad. Behold, it comes to teach us. Right? And even according to the opinion, says that lavanitik lase, you don't get malchus, kinetanya, like we learned the brice, lo sirva no satisrofu. Like it says, don't have leftover corn, pesach, meat, whatever is left over, you should burn. The pasuk comes to tell you an ase after a lav. Lo bar she'ed lo kidalav, to tell you that you don't get malchus over it. She nitak hakasuv es ase lios anshel shalav. Right, that the pasuk connected the ase to be the punishment of the lav. V'tikudo, to fix it. Lobar lach, lo tase kach, don't do this. Ibasisa asay, if you did this asay, absisa asay zot, be pater. If you did it, then do this and be pater. Vashbina Rabbi Yochanan teaches us, hani bilu basay haba achar halav. This only refers to an asay that comes after a lav. She'ed atayocha lekaimo, ela la achar averas halav. That a lav that you are not able to fulfill it, you're only able to fulfill it after committing the lav. Aval,
sounds like
Tosfos. Okay, but let's we got to read a little more. Aval asay, it's all about the letter vav here. Just get ready for the letter vav here. Aval asay shekadam es alav, but the asay, if an asay precedes a lav, if an asay precedes the lav, ve ata yochol lekaybo kodam averos alav ein zenitik alav. So some, it's not so clear, but some want to read Rashi that he's giving two conditions. That number one, like Tosfos, atayochol lekaim akodem averos alav, then it's not a lav nitek laaseh. But all, what does he say? It has to be two things. Aseh shekodem es alav, and you're able to fulfill it before the lav. So Rashi, at least according to some later Rishonim, think that you need two things so that the Aseh precedes a lav. Number one is, it has to come first in the Torah, and secondly, you would have to be able to observe the Aseh before the lav. Both conditions have to be met according to Rashi.
Rabbi, according to Tosfos.
Yes.
I'm not following it, because according to the second condition, right, if it came after the lav, then it's rav nitzvah. So by definition, it has to come before the lav. It can't be a condition.
What I'm saying is the following. Let's say you could theoretically observe the aseh before the lav. You could do the aseh before the lav, but in the Torah, the lav is written before the aseh, so that it would not be a lav anitak laaseh. I'm sorry, that it would be a lav anitak laaseh. I'm sorry, right.
It would be
a lav anitak laaseh. In other words, according to Tosfos, if you could observe the aseh before the lav, then it's not a lav hanitak laaseh. According to Rashi, the aseh in the Torah has to have the possibility of being observed before the lav, and secondly, it has to be written in the Torah before the lav. Both conditions have to be met, according to Rashi. Okay? Okay.
Now, to me, lav shekidamo aseh sounds more like a preventative measure.
No. Lav shekidamo aseh lav, that is preceded by an aseh.
Sounds like a preventative measure. Okay. The idea behind it is to prevent you from doing the lav.
Right, but okay, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. So that would, so again, you're supporting Tosis's position because you're saying that if the assay is before the lav,
yeah,
but it could only be done after lav, it's coming to tell you it's preventative. Rashi's saying no. Rashi's saying that if you really want to say it's not preventative, if it's written afterwards, then obviously it's coming to fix it. Okay, so I understand. So we're going to stop here. So this is we're going to discuss this lav shit kibbo vaseh. It's very fascinating. I don't think we're going to have a shiur next week because we have guest shiurim Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday evening. So we're going to pick up with Makos the Wednesday following Shavuos. So thank you for continuing on.